Our first scripture lesson is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks, when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost and will bring them back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured and will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. This and now our second scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Yes, today is Christ the King Sunday. And when I say to you, the King, what is your vision of a king? For many people, including in Jesus' day, the idea of the king was somebody who was a tyrant, who would abuse them, would take their money, and often their land and their livelihood. And so to use the term king for Jesus could be one that could be a little confounding to people. And yet, here we use that title for Christ. And as we look at the scriptures often provide that vision of a tyrant king, even in the religious leadership. But Jesus does not share that vision. Going back to Ezekiel, where God talks about gathering up the sheep, of providing for the sheep, Jesus takes that message even further now as he declares what it is for him to be king. For Jesus, God's kingdom was here and there. And God's kingdom continues for us today. Jesus tells us what it is to be the king. It's not to be one of those tyrants to abuse the people, to use the people to support them, to take their land and their food. But rather, for the king, it is to serve the people. And that's what Jesus is sharing with his disciples in this message today. In a book that I read many years ago in a Bible study, Marcus Borg and J. Dominic Crossan shared this vision of the king that is done in our scriptures today. That difference between Jesus as king and the worldly kings. This book, The Last Week, What Gospel Teaches Us About Jesus' Final Days in Jerusalem, is talking about the Palm Sunday procession. We are all familiar with that procession of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem on a donkey with the people waving branches. But Marcus Borg and J. Dominic Crossan go one step further to explain to us just what this procession meant, what Jesus was proclaiming in that procession. The people of that day would have known that it was normal during the time of the religious celebrations in Jerusalem for the Roman leadership to come into town. They often didn't stay in Jerusalem. They didn't like Jerusalem. They had another town that was much more comfortable. But because it was a religious holidays, in this case, Passover, the leadership would come here to make sure that things did not get out of hand. And that leader would have come riding on a magnificent horse, surrounded by soldiers, making a great parade. That would have been representative of the king and what the government was like at that time. So Jesus, in a juxtaposition of that message, came into town on a donkey, a lowly, lowly donkey, surrounded by his disciples. No sign of weapons, no sign of a desire to keep down the crowds, just coming in as a gentle leader. This is that difference of vision of what it means for Christ to be the king. The vision of what the people thought when they thought a Messiah had come was it would be another one of those leaders, like the Roman leader coming in, someone who would free them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. But that wasn't what Jesus was concerned about. Jesus understood that God's kingdom was there, here and now. We pray that every week in the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus talked about the kingdom. But when he did, it wasn't so much about what life was going to be like after. It was about what life should be here and now. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this scripture today. Yes, Jesus was presenting a vision of him being a king. He said, the king said, we'll divide them. But that king was looking for something very different, not for who was the strongest, but who was the most willing to give. And that's the message for the church. For us today, if we are going to have Jesus, if we are going to have the Christ as our king, we need to follow the teachings of Jesus. And it seems like the church in recent years, not all the churches certainly, there are many, many churches that are honestly seeking to follow Jesus. But there's a real concern that the world is not seeing that church, because so many of the churches that seem to be most visible are the ones that are preaching a very different message. The prosperity gospel has become a major movement in recent years. You see the big, huge churches, and so many of them are teaching that prosperity gospel so far from this message I hear Jesus teach of feeding the hungry and clothing the poor and caring for the strangers. One of the things I read just recently from one of those prosperity gospel preachers, you probably know the name, Ken Copeland. Ken Copeland declared that Jesus wants him to be the first billionaire preacher. Is that the message you hear from this king, from Jesus' teachings, about what it means to be Christ the King? To me, that's not at all what I hear, that Jesus cares at all about a preacher being a billionaire. In fact, if you'll remember the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, "What will it take for me to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "Follow the rules." And he says, "Well, I do that." He says, "But you need to go sell all that you have and give it to the poor." And that rich young ruler bowed his head and walked away, unwilling to do what Christ the King asks of him. Does that sound like a Jesus who would uplift the prosperity gospel churches? We need, as the church, to get back to looking at what Jesus would have us do, how Jesus would have us live. We need to be the ones that get that message out to the world, to override that message of the prosperity gospel. And Andy spoke a couple weeks ago about the patriot churches, the ones that are trying to make the church and the country one and the same. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught of a whole world that God loves. It wasn't just the Jewish people that Jesus said God loved. Jesus said God loved the whole world, not people just like us. That is our challenge as the church. If we are going to follow the King, then we need to make sure we are helping getting that message out. We need to tell people. We need to show people who we are. This last week, I know many of you here read Richard Rohr's A Daily Meditation. And I thought it was interesting this week leading up to Christ the King Sunday that every day was about this kingdom of God that we're talking about, Jesus Christ being the King of. And on Thursday, one of my favorite writers, Brian McLaren, was the one that was talking about the kingdom of God. There was a different writer every week. And what he was talking about, that Jesus' teachings were to override the thinking of that day, of how people, not just the Roman Empire, but the Jewish people themselves, thought about the world. To turn over the religious teachings that many people were making in that day, because the religious leaders had become very much a part of that Roman Empire. And these are the things that Brian shared that he believes Jesus taught as turning over and making a change. These come from Brian McLaren's book, Everything Must Change. And he says, "Don't get revenge when wronged, but seek reconciliation. Don't repay violence with violence, but seek creative and transforming nonviolent alternatives. Don't focus on external conformity to moral codes, but an internal transformation in love. Don't love insiders and hate or fear outsiders, but welcome outsiders into a new us, a new we, a new humanity that celebrates diversity in the context of love for all, justice for all, and mutual respect for all. Don't have anxiety about money or security or pleasure at the center of your life, but trust yourself to the care of God. Don't live for wealth, but for the living God who loves all people, including your enemies. Don't hate your enemies or competitors, but love them and do to them not as they have done to you and not before they do to you, but as you wish they would do for you. That's Brian McLaren's understanding of the kingdom of God that Jesus taught in his day. And it's such an important message that is carried down through the centuries and has come to us today. And it's no less true back then than it is today. As we look around at us, at all the upheaval in the world, and we see a need for change, these are important words to remember. This church has been seeking to be a part of that change. The Presbyterian Church several years ago offered up a program called Matthew 25, based on these very verses we heard today, about feeding the hungry and clothing the poor, and visiting the stranger. It has three different aspects to it, each of which we as a church are seeking to make a difference in. It's hard right now as we can't get out and do some of the things we'd like to do. And yet we are honestly seeking to be a part of this. Building congregational vitality. We are seeking new ways to reach out to each other, but also to reach out to the world. That's why it's so exciting that this Facebook Live and this Zoom can go out anywhere. We have even had people from other countries that have joined us in worship. Dismantling structural racism. In this country today, we look around us and we see how much structural racism there honestly is. Many people try to deny that, but if you talk to any of your black friends or your people of other colors, you will find that they are honestly disadvantaged, that they face challenges that none of us could ever imagine. Seek out people of color and talk to them about what their lives are, and you will come to understand. We've done studies about this in our Wednesday night study. And the next time we offer one on racism, if you haven't been joining in with us, I hope you'll join our Wednesday night study. And the last one is perhaps one of the most difficult ones. And so often it is tied in with the racism one. And that is eradicating systemic poverty, something that is so difficult to overcome. Like I said, often it's tied in with racism, but not always. There are people that are white that are poor also. And we've got programs going to try to help people while they're dealing with their poverty, but one of the areas where, as things begin to reopen and we have more opportunities, we would like to find ways to help make changes that can overcome the poverty. One of the things that's happened during this pandemic is the poverty has gotten even more drastic. We have more billionaires today after this pandemic than we had before it started. People that are of low income have been damaged more than any other people, because they were the first to be laid off. They had the fewest resources to fall back on because they lived from paycheck to paycheck. This is the things that the Christ has called us to seek to make a difference. In Ezekiel, it said that God will do these things. And Jesus in his teachings in the scripture today turned that around and said, we are to be representatives of God. We are to feed the hungry and clothe the poor and revisit the sick and the lonely. We do a lot in this church, but there's so much more to do. If we are honestly going to follow Christ as our King, we need to find new and exciting ways to do that. Amen. Today, as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, it is also the end of our church year calendar. Next year is the For next week is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new year. This week, as we think about what we are called to do, to follow Christ the King, it is also a time to get prepared for beginning of Advent. I encourage you this week to prepare to follow the Advent calendar that we will be posting, that is posted on our website. It is the Presbyterian Church's Advent readings. They are daily readings. Gather up some candles this week. The prescribed candles are 3 purple and 1 pink and a white one for Christ. But if you don't have the opportunity to get those, any candles will do, and form them in a circle. If you have a wreath, you can maybe fit them in the wreath sitting on a table. And join with us beginning next Sunday in reading through the monthly, the daily readings. This year's readings will be based on writings by Howard Thurman. Because as we join together as a church in doing that, we might just find some new and exciting ways to follow Christ the King, to reach out into the world and show the world who Christ truly is. Not that Christ that promotes hatred, not a Christ who promotes wealth and prosperity, but a Christ who calls each and every one of us to make a difference in the world, to show love, to show peace, to show caring. This is who we are called to be. This week, think about that as you prepare for Advent. May the peace of Christ be with you each and every day. Amen.